This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Lichvot HaNisuim Shel Menachem Yehuda Hertzke and Rochel Landau. Kof Aleph Mar Cheshvan, Friday the 29th of October, Rabbi Shimshon Silkin, Utilizing Time.
The truth is that this parasha focuses a lot on units of time, beginning with the first pasuk. That Sarah was 127 years old, except it doesn't say she was 127, it says she was 120, she was 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. Shavuot knows the Rashi. And first of all, discuss the focus of the Pasuk on the word Shona. And then it also says, Shnei Chayei Sarah at the end, so repeat it, Vayu Chayei Sarah. And again, Shnei Chayei Sarah, the years of the life of Sarah. Seems like there's a focus on the time of Sarah's life. And it's not just Sarah, but it's what we have in the Pasuk further on regarding Avraham, where it says in the Pasuk, Vavraham Zokein Bo Bayomim, that Avraham grew old, coming with days. And again, the Mefarshim trying to understand what the inyan of Bo Bayomim is about. I mean, the way that a person grows old is one day at a time. So, seemingly superfluous, the expression Zokin Bo Bayomim. Sorry?
Time is running out.
So, Avraham could have said, Avraham Zokin, that Avraham grew old. The Bo Bayomim is Upshat. Then it says, Vashem Berach as Avraham Bakoil. That Avraham grew old, coming with days, and Hashem benched Avraham with everything. So we find it with Avraham as well. And furthermore, the Haftorah continues the theme as well. The Haftorah from this week's parasha, which is right from the beginning of Malachim, Malachim Aleph, Perik Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the Hamelech David Zokein Bo Vayomim. That David also grew old, also brought coming with days, Bo Vayomim. Except that the Pasuk regarding David finishes quite differently from the way that the Pasuk continues with Avraham. Because by Avraham it says, Avraham Zokein Bo Vayomim, Hashem Berach as Avraham Bakoil. Avraham grew old, and Hashem benched him with everything. But with David, it doesn't finish so positively. With David it says, V'hamelech David Zokein Bo Vayomim. David HaMelech grew old, also a similar expression, Bo Vayomim, and some say that's the connection to the Pasha. But it says, Vaychasuhu babgodim, they covered him with clothing, but v'lo yichamloi, it did not warm him. Right, the clothes didn't warm David HaMelech. In other words, he wasn't just old, but he was cold. And they brought him begodim in many layers, and however many layers he wore, lo yichamloi, he couldn't warm himself as a result of that clothing. And the shayla is, what's the shaychus? What's the connection between the inyan of David growing old and the fact that they brought him clothing which did not warm him? Because we remember what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says that the reason, Gemara Brochus, Samach Beis Omid Beis, that the reason that David HaMelech's clothes did not warm him is because of the story that took place in Shmuel Aleph, where David encountered Shaul HaMelech, and he came so close to him that he could have killed him. He was literally standing next to him, but instead of killing him, he tore off a corner of Shaul HaMelech's clothing. And what the Poshim Shah and the Gemara, without going deeply into it yet, would appear that there was something of a Midah Keneged Midah going on over here. That because David HaMelech had ruined somebody else's clothing, therefore Midah Keneged Midah, later on, he would be punished in this world, like, via the medium of clothing, not warming him when he needed to be warm. Soon we'll see that actually goes quite a bit deeper than that. Because when it comes to Ben Odom Lachaveroi, and you could argue that the whole episode between Dov and Yeshua was a Ben Odom Lachaveroi to get in him. But when it comes to Ben Odom Lachaveroi, we are accustomed to the concept of Midah Keneged Midah in the following way. Midah Keneged Midah can actually mean two things. It can either mean that the way that we treat other people is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us. For example, the The idea of kol ma'avir al midosov ma'avir lo min hashamayim. If a person is willing to fagin, right? If a person is willing to be moichel other people, even though they might not deserve their mechila, but they decide to go the extra mile, and Hashem shows that Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "Fine, I'll go the extra mile with you as well, even though you might not be deserving." So don't ask that amusim. But that is more between odin la'mokim, really, because what that midah k'neged midah means is that Hakadosh Baruch Hu will deal with us the way that we deal with other people. So kafi mai. Menodim lachaveiro, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will respond. But there's another inyan of menodim lamokay, or menodim lachaveiro, or the midah k'neged midah, where it's not so much that Hakadosh Baruch Hu will deal with me the way that I deal with people, but that people will deal with me the way that I deal with people. For example, the Mishnah Perkei Avos, Eizel mechubed, hamechabed is habriyos. If I tie lois kovod to another person, then I receive kovod in return. I am mechubed as a result of my being mechabed. Now, it's the doors are in that it comes that there's a response to my attitude, so to speak. And it goes. The truth is, it goes even further than this. Shlomo HaMelech in Mishle, Perek Chof Zayin, Pasuk Yud Tes. Kemayim ponim al ponim kein lev ha'odom el ha'odom. The same way that water reflects a person's face, so too another person's lev, another person's heart, another person's feelings, another person's emotions also reflect your emotions. In other words, the way that Reuven feels towards Shimon will determine how Shimon feels towards Reuven. In other words, it's not just a reflection, it actually decides the relationship. The way that a person gives over himself to Yema, that will in a certain sense create the environment, right, that will determine the other person's reaction towards his action, which is a phenomenal inyan. Truth is, as Sforim say, this is the idea of Sinas Chinon. Everybody knows Sinas Chinon was the cause for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And Allah Fregen says, what's Sinas Chinon? What is Sinas Chinon? Sinas Chinon is translated into baseless hatred. Chinon means mamish nothing. It's not just that you pay a bit, it means nothing. Yeah? Chinon, chinam. You go to Eretz Yisrael, and there's a mivtza, there's a sale. If you buy one, you get the second one free. Free is not when he gets in a Deste Haggai, it's not really free, but we meant it's 10% off. Chinon means chinon. So what's Pshat Sinas Chinon? Who would ever hate another person for nothing? It's never for nothing. It's Muzayn Epis, Asiba, something. Even if you don't like the way, you don't like the style of their clothing, it might be ridiculous, it might be pathetic, it might be wrong, but it's not nothing. What's the Pshat Sinas Chinon? Yeah? So that's what I'm saying. What Pshat is based on this posuk is Azoi. Because Kamayim ponim el ponim, therefore, Reuven might hate Shimon for a reason. It might be a small reason, but Reuven feels sinner towards Shimon. For some reason or other, he hates Shimon. Because of that, Shimon hates Reuven back, but he doesn't know why. And does the chinam. He can't help himself have a negative attitude back towards Reuven simply because Reuven's hatred is coming towards him. But it generates a chinonness, and it normally only happens when there's an insignificant reason for the sin in the first place. Normally, if Reuven doesn't hate Shimon for no real reason, but there's something there, then Shimon's sort of picking up the vibes, sort of returns to sender. Right, the attitudes that he's receiving from Reuven. Those are the inyan from Chinon. So the situation are inyan that we understand. Kamayim ponim al ponim. It's not just that Mr. X feels towards Mr. Y in a certain way, but that by feeling that way, that creates a return feeling as well. That's the inyan when it applies to Ben Adam Lachavero. And this is an inyan that's not necessarily such a chiddush. What David HaMelech teaches in Heintiger Vox Torah is that it doesn't just apply to Ben Adam Lachaveir. And this is where it gets to quite a big chiddush, and in a minute we'll see where it gets to an even bigger chiddush. It goes to three stages. Ben Adam Lachaveir, we understand the way that my attitude towards another person can determine the return attitude. But what we learn from David HaMelech is that it applies even to inanimate objects. That the way that I conduct myself with regards to physical material objects that have no life to them at all will determine how those physical inanimate material objects will will express their attitude back towards me. Not that they have an attitude, but we'll soon see how this works. So, sorry. David HaMelech abuses clothing. On his level, that was considered, he could have killed Shaul, but on his level it was considered a degradation of clothing as an idea. So what I'm saying here is that it's not just midah keneged midah, where, okay, so you disregarded, you disrespected clothing, and therefore through clothing you'll receive your punishment. It goes deeper than that. Clothing is now disrespecting David. Meaning, what's the function of clothing? What should be the function of clothing? And the function of clothing ought to be that it keeps a person warm. Now, ideally, is why one buys clothes. It's not always like that, right? Yadua, when Yaakov Avinu was davening, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "V'nosani lechem lechol uveged lilboish." What does he have to say, lechem lechol uveged lilboish? Bread to eat and clothes to wear? What else? What are you going to do? Wear the bread and eat the clothes? What's tashtem beged lechol? So the Musa Sforim say, because the Hainting Gador, very often, the food, yeah, is not for eating, right? And the clothes, we're not even going to talk about. You go to these very, very fancy chasanas sometimes, right? You know, the fancier the chasana, the hungrier you're going to be when you get home. You know, the old adage, waiter, waiter, my plate's wet, that's your soup, sir, right, is applied. And you get enormous plates with little dollops of unrecognizable foods. It's not chamazah that you wash beforehand, because you would have no idea what brocha to make. And you come home, what do? You look at a nice sukkah sasun and chasana, you get a nice piece of schnitzel and a kugel like a Friday night, you come home and you get something, sometimes you see these 20-foot swans made out of butter. And you wonder how many slices of toast it's going to take, right? What's happening? So Yaakov Avinu gedaven lechem lechol or beged lilboish. I'm going to have this little bread to essen. Let me have my right attitude towards life. The bread is for eating. My bread is not for display. You go to some kiddushim sometimes. There's no cake. You can't make a kiddushim mokum soon. It's all chocolates and all that and touch them with all these beautiful formations. Essen is food is for eating. In the Yiddish, essen is food, yeah? And that's the name for food. It's essen. Enough is essen. Don't look at it. And beged lilboish, the idea that clothing, ideally, is supposed to be machaming the person, make them warm, right? But the begodim we're not respecting, we're not doing their job. We're not living up to their function of being mechameim, a person with David HaMelech, because he didn't show them covers. It's not just that begodim were doing their function, bigud, clothing, as a concept, was not respecting David HaMelech, wasn't doing what's disrespect. When you don't do your job, when you have the incorrect attitude, David HaMelech's lack of respect towards the clothing was returned to him by the clothing's response that I'm not going to be effective in my attitude towards you either. And this is, it's not such a major chiddush, because we find this concept with food itself. We're talking about food, we've spoken about lechem, we've spoken about beged lilboish. We want to talk about lechem lechol. It's brought down the Shulchan Aruch la halacha. That a person is not allowed to throw food. Not allowed to throw food, you shouldn't throw food away. My grandmother, Aleha Sholem, give a whole shiur on this, about throwing what you can do with old bread. Amazing what the Nafrid Gador, what they could do with old bread. But the Maaseh Shem Aloch, you're not allowed to treat food disrespectfully. If it's even brought down, that if you see food on the floor, you're not allowed to walk by. It's almost like a sefer. You have to pick it up and treat food with respect. What happens if, chas v'shalom, we treat food with disrespect? What happens if we do throw food or hang food? It's brought down in Aloch, hanging food. So what state? It says that, it's brought down Shulchan Aruch. Brought down Shulchan Aruch. So Mekuf Pei. Sif Dalit. What happens if a person disrespects bread? And the truth of Mishnah Berurah says not just bread, but all types of food. Chas v'sholom, what state in Shulchan Aruch? Kosher la'anivs. It can bring a person chas v'sholom poverty. You know, we're sitting here in the middle of an economic crisis. You know, maybe a good way out is to treat food in general with a little bit more covered, because the Maaseh Chazal says that treating food with disrespect is kosher la'anivs. So it can bring a person chas v'sholom to poverty. So again, you can either look at it that it's midah keneged midah, that you're supposed to treat food in a certain way, and if you don't treat food in a certain way, the midah keneged midah, we will receive retribution through food. But now what we're learning is a bit deeper than that. That the food will not make itself available for us. It doesn't make itself available as a result of us not developing the correct attitude to oichel as an idea. Therefore, oichel, food, does not return the favor. and it doesn't make itself available. You can even say perhaps even a more mechudish dikibshat that maybe there will be food. Maybe there will be food, but the food will not satisfy us. Maybe we'll eat, which is the opposite of what happens with Shemitah. Yeah? With Shemitah it says, Oichel Kimul Misporach Bameov, that you can eat a little bit and be satisfied with a little bit. Ken Zayin, that the opposite of the bracha of Shemitah, Shemit Tzivi says, Burchasi, there's a bracha by Shemitah, here's the opposite, by disrespecting food, because Shemitah ultimately is respecting the land, by disrespecting the food, what happens is that we can eat a lot and never be satisfied. We need more and more and more and more. Why? Because it's not responding. The food itself is not doing its job. There's a whole shayla where you can even hang bread in a basket, hanging bread. The Ben Ishchai brings down from the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, that hanging bread is a problem. I even saw in a Achronish source that the children taking their sandwiches to school in the morning could be a problem because it's in the knapsack, it's in the rucksack, and it's hanging off the back of their shoulder. This has no poshet because it could be a din in hanging food. I'm not sure we pass this, but it just shows the sensitivity to food, Revitav's gate, how far it goes. That, and it could be that the Indian here is the same as with David HaMelech, that the attitude towards bigud, right, determines how functional that bigud will be in return. And who the same applies to food, chas v'sholem. That if it's not treated properly, then it doesn't treat us properly. Now we go to an even higher level. If it applies to Benod Machaveiro, Kamayim Ponim Ponim, and Kenzan it applies to things that beggar Lechem Lechol, Lechem Lechol, a beggar Lilboish, there's an Indian that goes even further than this, that we learn from the Mir Rosh Hashiva. Mir Rosh Hashiva Chamish Melev Sechorin of the Rochel, who was once asked by one of his Talmidim. The Talmid asked Rosh Hashiva, how come the Rosh Hashiva has so much time? How come Rosh Hashiva has so much time? The Rosh Hashiva, the biggest yeshiva in the world, and today it is still very big. In my day, in the Mir, it actually dropped to number two. At one point, Lakewood overtook the numbers, but today the Mir is off the map already. There's 6,000 Bochum or something like that. 6,000 Bochum Yugalai learning in the yeshiva. The biggest yeshiva on earth, the Godel Hador, the world's problems on his shoulders, right? And yet, the Rosh Yeshiva always seemed to have time. He had time for everyone, he had time for everything, he got everything done, yeah? So, before we hear what the Rosh Yeshiva's response was, before we hear the response, let's focus for a couple of minutes on the idea of time itself. Like Yedua, time is not what it was thought to be for many, many years, for thousands of years. For thousands of years, of course, Torah already gave us the right attitude towards time many, many hundreds of years ago, and finally in the 20th century, science caught up, right? Science caught up with the concept of time and supports, thank you very much, right, what we always knew from the days of the Rishonim already. But time is not what Sir Isaac Newton described it to be, which was some abstract continuum in which events occur. Time is not an abstract concept. Time is a reality. We now know that time is a creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created time. If we look at the Ramban and Bereishis, Ramban and Bereishis right at the beginning there, the first perek, first parash of Bereishis, Pasuk Hey, the Ramban says, points out, that the Pasuk says, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voyker Yom Echad. It was night and it was morning one day. And then it says again, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voyker Yom Sheni. Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voyker Yom Shlishi. Frekzach HaKasha. Night? Day? Morning? Evening? Hayitochin. It's impossible. Why? Because the sun was only put in the sky on the fourth day, Yom Revi. Zog de Ramban. That even before the sun there was time. Time is not dependent on the sun. It's not that the sun rises and the sun sets and that declares, that determines our time. It's not dependent on the constant, it's not dependent on the cosmos, right? Even though there's big arguments now that they want to put British summertime into the winter and then and 2 hours again next year, which will cause havoc for Shteitzach. With all sorts of issues, there's money. Anyone who needs to get to work is not going to have a minion to daven with, unless of course they get together at work. But al kaponim, it's not that as if you know time is determined by the rising and setting of the sun, but by Yivro Elokim es Hazman. Right, the Gross says, for example, in the Brocha, Oisem Maaseh Bereishis, Oisem Maaseh is the Bria, and Bereishis the Bria says Man. Now, Rizal also says which we'll say tonight and tomorrow. We say, right? Frank Darizal, there's a letter missing. If you translate the words directly, Ki Sheishes Yomim, because 6 days Hashem created the world? No. In 6 days. Right, Hashem created the world. It should say, Ki b'sheishes yomim. So there is a look, Ki sheishes yomim. Also Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a unit of time. Brias hazman. Hazman is a nivro. Hazman is a yitziro. Time is a creation. Time is a reality. Time is dependent on matter. There's no matter, there's no time. There's a deeper relationship between the two. Time also had to be invented as a bria. Why is that negea lemaisa? When we see a phenomenon in the physical world, but what's the musa? Where is it shonish in the kodesh lomis d'onyonim? So that's what I'm saying. The pshat is that if time is a creation, and we know that it's a creation, and time, because it's a creation, therefore changes depending on its depending on the atmosphere in which it operates, and time is relative to its conditions. And time responds and adapts to its environment. If that is now a mitzvah that we all know, then therefore the musa that I take out of that is that time can also change for me. That time will adapt to my situation. Time is flexible. Time can be manipulated. Time can be forged. It can be molded to suit the conditions in which it is operating. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's response to the Talmud that asked him, how come the Rosh Yeshiva has so much time, was, because I never waste a second. Now, for those that didn't understand what the Rosh Yeshiva was saying at the time, it would seem obvious. If you don't waste any time, of course you're going to have more time. I don't need the Rosh Yeshiva to tell me that. Right? If I've got £10 at the beginning of the day and I've got £10 at the end of the day, right, someone says to me, how come? I said, because I didn't waste any of it. I've still got it in my pockets. It doesn't push it. I don't need the Rosh Hashiva to tell me that. I believe the Rosh Hashiva was not saying, because I don't waste a second, therefore I've got more time. No, nishtas nishtas ipshat. What the Rosh Hashiva was saying is, because I don't waste time when I have it, because I respect time, because I use it properly at all times, therefore when I need time to respect me, to stand still, came up like Yehoshua with the sun, to adapt to my situation, then it does so accordingly. And this is an amazing phenomenon we see in our day to day as well. Everybody knows, if you've got a big job to be done, who should he give it to? There you go, the busiest person you can find. Why? It's always like that. And so people who say, I have no time to do anything, right? I don't want to say anything controversial. Yeah, but Lamaisa, if you actually ask them, can I see your diary, right? It's a bit embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And yet, look at this, right? A room full of people, Balabatim, right? Kananahor, big mishpochas, right? A day job, right? Come to learn in the morning, Dafyomi at night, Kinderlach, Shabbos. It's compact, it's absolutely compact. I really believe that the Indian here is that when time is used properly, that all of a sudden we find that it dilates. It's a bit like those atomic clocks that are sent into different gravitational fields on the planet Earth. The time actually slows down. Time slows down, it accommodates our needs. Time stretches in order that we can fit everything in. It's unbelievable. You look around, they're the greatest people in our time. The amount of activity that they manage to pack into a single day, and yet they still get the sleep that they need, and they still manage to eat 3 square meals, and you say, how can it be? Everyone else is stressed out, no time for anything. Could it possibly be that the stress is generated by the fact that, because when we do have time, we're not necessarily giving it the respect that it deserves, and therefore all of a sudden, when I'm running out of time, time sort of waves as it drives by. It doesn't lend itself to my needs. Maybe that's the pshat, because what we learn from the Rosh Yeshiva is that because I give time what it deserves, therefore it gives me what perhaps I deserve. The same way the David HaMelech respected clothing, and the same way that we treat other people, there could be even in a concept called Zman itself, and the truth is that the Sforim say that the names that the Torah gives for Zman lends itself to this idea. The words for time The different units of time and time itself lends itself to this idea. For example, Zaman itself. Zaman means Hazmona. Hazmona Milsoi. It's a reality. It means preparation. Shona. Shona means Lashanos. Lashanos means to change. Flexibility. You can stretch it, move it, and make it work for you. Chodesh. Chodesh means Leis Chadesh. It renews itself. If something is a static, abstract concept, it can't renew itself. Only if something has some sort of Choymen, Surah, can you move it around. So the names that we give to time, units of time themselves, lend themselves to this concept, the idea that I can, that time is not just constant. It's not that it is what it is and everybody observes it at the same rate. It doesn't. It is relative to its observer. And perhaps today we can say that it's actually relative. Relativity means that it's relative to its user. Hashem, can we come back time to Gevoch's parasha? In the Medrash it says, a gewaldige Medrash, the first Medrash Rabbah. Unbelievable. Quotes the Apostle from Tehillim. That's possible in the Torah. And then it quotes the Apostle from Tehillim. Yodea Hashem Yimei Temimim V'nachlosom La'olam Tiyeh. Yodea Hashem Yimei Temimim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the days of the Temimim. Who's the Temimim? It's referring to Sarah and Avraham. Says the Medrash. Kesheim Shehein Temimim Kashnoisom Temimim. What's the pshat? I would like to suggest a pshat in the Medrash. Kishem shehein tamimim, just like they are complete, just like they use their time properly. Everything they do is to the maximum. They fulfill their every action with the maximum amount. Therefore, kach shnoisom tamimim. Therefore, their shnoisom, their time, is also tamim. Also, it gives it its fullest attention. Because they give everything in their lives their fullest attention. Also, huadin, right, the time respects them in response, in return. And the Pasuk that says Avram Zokin Boba Yomim is the Zelda Gibshad, the same idea. What does Boba Yomim mean? Boba Yomim means coming with days. And all the Svarim say Boba Yomim is the Inyan that every single day, and the truth is it says the same by Meinu as well, because it says Avram Vesorah Zakenim Boim by Yomim. The idea of Boba Yomim means is that you can point to every single day, and that day was full. That day was used properly. Boba Yomim, right? There's a Muslim Rebbe who once said that people might have Arichas Yomim, right? And they come upstairs to Shemayim after 120 years, but the truth is that it's 5 years. 5 years, because the amount that Mazal Angapakt in 120 years of actual tachlis, right, is Kemat non-existent. I mean, I find it sometimes when you get a nice big cake from the bakery, you know, this big, big, fluffy thing, but in order to know whether you can make another michi or not, you've got to crush it and squash it, yeah? And when you're left with, you're not sure, you can actually make a bracha achrona. It looks good, right? So, I don't know, for the end of life, people, you know, can make a bracha achrona sometimes. They're a little bit lacking in the shear. But the mind of Boba Yomim is a pshat. Boba Yomim is a pshat that a person needs to increase every single day of Rome and Sora, the Zakenim. Zakenim, what's the loss of Zokin? What's the Lashon Zokin here? Because the word in the Torah for old age is not just Zokin, it's Seva. Mipnei Seva Tokin. What's Pshat Zokin? Right? Zokin is not a reference to old age, white hair. Zokin is a reference to achievement. Zeshe Kona Chokma, says Rashi in HaParashas Kedoshim, based on the Gemara. Zeshekono, someone who's acquired, someone who's made an achievement. In Hagavos Parashah, it also says, Avram Zokin Boba Yomim, Boba Yomim, stayed in Medrash, Shekono Bein Soilomoi, Soiloma Zeh, Boiloma Bo. Zokin is Zeshekono, someone who's achieved something, someone who's acquired something. So, could be the Pshat of the Pasuk is, Avraham Zokin, Avram made a massive achievement, accomplished immense amounts, so even compared against the world. You know why? Because Boba Yomim. Because he utilized the days, he could bring every day to the account, therefore he was called a Zokin. This is Pshat Ziknei Haido. Ziknei Yisrael, the Zakenim, the Gedolim, are called Zakenim because they are Kona, they're constantly, and this is also Pshat maybe Vavrom, Vashem Berachas Avrohom, Bakoil of Alsgat. Vibaltat Alsgatin, therefore it's Alsgat. very quickly because we're out of time. Lemaisa with David HaMelech, it could be the pshat is that the juxtaposition of these two messages landing in the same pasuk is because it's the same message. But HaMelech Zokein, HaMelech David Zokein Bo Bayomim, is David HaMelech is given as Zokein Bo Bayomim, as the pshat is he was on that daraga as well, like the Ziknei Yisrael. The same pasuk you learn, but when it came to Bigu, there was a shtikel tvi on David HaMelech on his level, that because he didn't give the right, express the right attitude towards Bigu, therefore Bigu didn't respond. So it's mitoch kach, is the same thing. The way that we interact with the world is the way that the world will interact with us, and it applies to everything. And what we've learned, perhaps in Shalom the Apostle by Sora as well, like it says, Kulon Shavu Natovi, the same idea, is that with time as well, the way that it is utilized will determine and how it will respect us. And maybe this is the answer to relieving stress. Because ultimately stress is always a result of people being late for everything, stuck in traffic, and there's never enough time to get everything done. If we had time, there would be no stress, because I'll do it tomorrow, I can do it next week, it's not a problem, there's no immediate pressure, right? So the lack of stress is what brings shalom. No, lo mezoich hazayim, v'toyi b'enecho, levorich hasamuch yisho b'choleis, v'bchol sho, b'shlemecho.